Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Marcus. So glad to have you here with us today, especially if this is one of your first times joining us. It'd be great to meet you over morning tea if that's the case. We're going to continue our vision series in Colossians, but before we do, I thought I'd remind you that on the 17th of May, our life course is beginning. If you're someone or you know someone who you feel like you need to check out Christianity a little bit more, you're not quite sure how Jesus, the Bible, you know, the church, all that kind of stuff fits together, the life course is the best place to be or to take someone along to. We'd love to see you there so that you can hear the claims of Jesus clearly. But for now, why don't we pray and then we'll dig into Colossians. Let's pray. Father, as we think about your plans for our world, give us hearts that love Jesus, the image of the invisible God. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, just to start us today, I want to address the elephant in the room. I think it's blatantly obvious, but I've heard no one say anything about it. Even when I was a student minister at Bexley North, and no one has said anything since I've come on full time. I'm genuinely surprised it didn't even come up last week when Phil spoke about it at length. And so with all the courage I can muster, I'm going to say it. Here it is. The elephant in the room. Our church's vision statement has no location. No location. Have you ever noticed? Glorifying God by proclaiming Jesus, growing disciples, serving together. But where? Where are we trying to make this happen? In St. George North? In Sydney? Across the globe? Is our aim to do this everywhere? How? There's only like a couple of hundred of us and the world's full of people. And while we're thinking about these things going everywhere, you've probably noticed, we've already done it today, that we regularly pray for our mission partners overseas. People taking the gospel to Lama in Vietnam, Kelly in Japan, the McDowells in Paraguay. Why? I don't know anyone in Japan. They're not my friends and family. I've barely met some of these people that we pray for. Why should I care? Because I have friends and family who don't trust Jesus. People in my family who need to hear the gospel. Mums and dads at the school gate who I talk to regularly. So many people around me haven't heard the gospel. And my guess is that you're probably the same. And so why should you, why should I, why should we together as a church care about people overseas hearing the gospel? Why should we pray? Why should we give money? Why should we care about world mission? Well, we care because of who Jesus is. Global mission, world mission matters because of who Jesus is. Jesus gives us all the reason in the world to pray for mission partners, to give to gospel work overseas, and to even consider going ourselves. Because spreading the gospel is about the purposes of Jesus, not our own. And he wants to see people in all places, everywhere, turn to him. And so let's take a look at our passage for today, Colossians 1. And the first thing we see is that Jesus is incredible. So take a look at Colossians 1, verse 15. He, and it's talking about Jesus here, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I think we can all agree that Jesus is no ordinary person. He is the exact representation of God and a human being. And not just a representation, not just a bare image. No, take a look at what it says in verse 19. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. The fullness of God, the God who transcends the entire universe in the form of a man. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that blow your mind? Because that would mean that Jesus is the incarnation of God who made everything in Genesis 1. And that's what it says. So take a look at verse 16. Verse 16. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Not only did he make the Great Barrier Reef, the Grand Canyon, the Milky Way, everything in our material universe, but he also made the immaterial, the authority of kings, prime ministers, and presidents, all good things that we have corrupted. And so literally everything that we see and experience was all made by the Son of God. Now, some of you might know that I'm somewhere between 1/16th to 1/8th Swedish. There's my cousin. Distant relative. I've been called a Muppet before. But this means that I personally have an affinity for flat-pack furniture and meatballs. And so every once in a while, I'll take a trip down to Tempe and I'll feel at home. And then I buy some boxes and I return to my actual home where I live and I put some cubes together. And I feel pretty pleased with myself. You know, that's impressive. Look at what I've done. And I'll turn to my wife, Gnomes, and I'll say, Gnomes, look at what I did. I made some cubes. But when we look at Colossians 1 and we think about Jesus, who by his own power made the trees that the IKEA cubes are made of, made the concrete that holds up the building in Tempe, made the people who designed and sold me the cubes, and he made it all from nothing. He made it from nothing. Then I realized just how incredible Jesus is. Because Jesus is incredible. And he's not only incredible in power, but he's incredible in grace and mercy too. Because even though we were made by Jesus, we were at war with him. So take a look at how brilliantly Paul puts it in verse 21. Take a look at verse 21. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. Jesus is so indescribably different to us. Human beings almost always respond to hostility with more hostility. But instead, Jesus loves us. He loves us. He is incredible. And he is our Savior. The one who loves you, the one who loves me deeply, who gave his own life for us, even when we were his enemies. And so the only right response when we see this Jesus is to fall on our knees and worship him. And the only reason that we would get up off of our knees is because running is faster than crawling. And we are desperate to go and tell other people how incredible he is, to proclaim Jesus, as our vision statement says, to point them to the only person who has ever conquered death for good, to point them to the incredible Jesus. And that's what we want to do, not just here, but everywhere. And we also need to recognize that this is what he made people for. And that brings us to my second point on the outline, that he is the purpose. Jesus is the purpose for it all. So take a look at verse 15 again. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. See, it's not just that Jesus is powerful to make it all, or that he makes it for no reason. No, all of creation is made through him and for him. The purpose of our world, of our universe, is to be his, to honor him, to worship him, to do his will, to live as people made in his image, and to display his glory. The purpose of human life, my life, your life, and the purpose of our whole reality is that everything we are, everything we have, is meant to be for Jesus. And what that means is that the best thing for us and the best thing for our world is that Jesus is honored. The best thing for us and the best thing for our world is that Jesus is honored. It's that people don't live for themselves, but live for him. It's what we're made for, and it's what we're saved for. And I think this idea helps us move beyond thinking only about those around us. We rightly spend lots of time, and it's a great thing that we do, we spend lots of time thinking about how we'll share the gospel with our community. And we want to share the gospel with them because we genuinely love them, don't we? We genuinely love the people around us. And we know that without Jesus, without his salvation, they will go to hell. And that Jesus is the Savior who cares. He weeps over Jerusalem. He searches for the lost coin and the lost sheep. He is the Savior who gave up his own life and died in our place so that we would be saved. Our King cares for the lost. And it's right for us to do that too. The people around us, we ought to care for. And at the same time, we remember that everything, all things are for Jesus' sake. Which means that proclaiming the gospel is firstly for Jesus' sake. Proclaiming the gospel is firstly for the sake of Jesus. When we proclaim the gospel, we do it for Jesus before we do it for the person in front of us. Because we want Jesus to get the glory he deserves. We want Jesus to get everything they are, everything that they have. We want him to get all the glory from their lives. Even if we don't know them, even if we don't like them, even if they're on the other side of the globe, we want them to hear the gospel so that they will give Jesus what he deserves from their lives. And that's everything. See, Jesus being the purpose for it all helps us to reorder our own ambitions in evangelism as we proclaim the gospel. And it's right for us to want people around us to know Jesus. We know that Jesus wants all people everywhere to be saved. And so our hope for people to be saved from hell isn't localized, because he deserves the lives of all people everywhere. And so we take the gospel to our workplaces, we take it to our schools, we take it to our homes, but we also need to send people to proclaim the life-saving message of Jesus. Here's how 2 Corinthians 5 puts it. I think this is one of the most helpful passages as we think about why we proclaim the gospel. For the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. See, our love for Jesus means that we desire all people everywhere to live for him. But they won't do that. In fact, they can't do that unless they're reconciled to him. So take a look at verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In the person of Jesus, all things are reconciled to him by his death on the cross. That means people from every tribe and language and nation can be saved by Jesus. Everyone, everywhere can turn back to God through the body and blood of Jesus. See, the opportunity for reconciliation isn't like trying to join the royal family. It's not exclusive to people of a certain lineage or even to people who just like playing polo. No, Jesus died to reconcile all peoples everywhere to himself. And this was God's plan all along. So see in Genesis 12, up on the screen, God's blessing of Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Then take a look at Zechariah 2, verse 11, up on the screen. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord on that day and become my people. And we also see it in the Great Commission, one of the most helpful verses we as to think through what we do as we take the gospel to the world. Let me read it out for you. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." We even saw it in our psalm reading today. God's heart is one that sees people from all nations, all tongues being saved. Jesus' purpose is for all people across the world to be saved through the gospel. And so all people can be reconciled to God. But then take a look at how Paul clarifies that this doesn't mean that everyone is saved from judgment. So take a look at verse 21. Colossians 1, verse 21. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. See, even though we were separated from God, we were at war with him, he reconciles us to himself through Jesus when we place our trust in him. It's through faith that we receive this reconciliation from God. And so people need to hear that they need to put their trust in Jesus. That's why when we send people, we don't send them to set up government programs. And we don't send them to give away food. And we don't send them to build hospitals. Those are all good things, and they might happen. But the reason that we send people is to preach the gospel, so that when people hear, they will put their faith in Christ and be reconciled to him through his death. Because if they don't trust him, they'll continue to spurn him and judgment is coming. But again, this is our desire for all people everywhere to turn to Jesus and to live for him, because Jesus is their king. He is their reconciler. Seeing people worship Jesus is our great hope. Not only for the people of the world, but it's our desire. It's the thing that we actually want for Jesus too. This is why I love singing the song In His Name. We're going to sing it a bit later on. And we'll sing these words. I won't sing for you now. I won't put you through that torture. These words. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praises. That desire for Jesus to be proclaimed by thousands and thousands of languages is our hope, isn't it? For people everywhere to declare that Jesus is Lord. I hope as you've been reading Colossians 1 this morning that you've seen how brilliantly good Jesus is. And I hope that helps you to see why we send and support mission partners overseas. We want Jesus to be proclaimed everywhere because of how incredible he is. We want Jesus to be proclaimed everywhere so that he gets the glory that he deserves. We want Jesus to be proclaimed everywhere because we know that reconciliation and hope is only found in him. And I think that's why it's helpful that our vision statement has no location. Because we want this in St. George North. Yes, we do. We want it desperately. But we also want Jesus honoured everywhere. But how can we see it happen? If this is our great desire, our great ambition, then what can we do to try to see Jesus proclaimed everywhere? We're a relatively large church by Sydney standards, but compared to the rest of the world, we're tiny. How are we going to do this? Well, firstly, we take responsibility for proclaiming Jesus here in St. George. And so that means we do all the things that we heard from Colossians and Phil's talk last week. We proclaim Jesus in our workplaces, we serve at church, we give generously to our church here at St. George North. And then we think globally. And here I think CMS has really nailed it. The Church Missionary Society, fantastic organisation. They help us to partner with Kelly and Lama. And CMS has this slogan, should come up on the screen. Pray, give, go. And I want to think about each of these for just a second. And let's start with prayer. It's really interesting that Paul, the great missionary, desired and rejoiced in people's prayers. So take a look at Romans 15 up on the screen. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, through our Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in prayers to God on my behalf. And later in Colossians 4, Paul writes this. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the word. See, we believe in a mighty God, a God so powerful and so loving that he reconciles us to himself in Jesus. And so praying for our mission partners is just a no-brainer, isn't it? And so we pray for everything for them. We pray for their godliness, we pray for their resilience, we pray for their language, for their housing, and we pray for the things that they ask for. Pray as earnestly for Lama students as you do your co-workers. Because did you see how excited Lama was about your prayers? He loved being prayed for, and because he knows he needs them. Now today at morning tea, you have an opportunity to sign up for their emails. And it's just a little bit easier than it usually would be on a Sunday. There'll be cards, and you'll see some of these around, some QR codes. You can use those. They'll be around the exits and the morning tea tables. You can use those to sign up for prayer letters and to get more information. And so make sure you sign up. And don't just sign up. Make sure you pray too. But that's the first one, pray. Let's think about giving. How are we going to partner financially with our mission partners? I think it's helpful to remember that in Colossians 1, we see that all things belong to Jesus. And so even if it's our money, it belongs to Jesus. And so we use it for his purposes, to see a world live for him. And so I want to encourage you to think generously and deeply about how you'll support our mission partners financially. See, we often think that giving to proclaiming the gospel is the thing we do after everything else is sorted. So you get the job, you get the house, you get the lifestyle, and then you sort out gospel generosity. But this vision of Jesus just flips it all on its head, doesn't it? All of it, every single cent that we have is for the sake of Jesus. And so we need to flip our thinking on its head. Our first thought ought to be, what can I give for the sake of the gospel, both here and overseas? Because when you give to church, it lets things like the life course and even our meetings on a Sunday, proclaim Jesus clearly to all who come. And when you give to the McDowells in Paraguay, you allow them to read the Bible with people in remote villages where there's no other Christians. And when you give to Gladwin and Lish, you allow them to serve the people of India with the gospel. And just as an aside, we're going to hear from Gladwin and Lish in the following weeks, so keep your eyes peeled. But then you might also give to the Konings in France. And when you do that, you allow a church to be planted in a city that for too long has rejected Jesus. Now, we as a church are really excited about partnering with the Konings, who I've just mentioned. They're going to be planting a church in Toulouse. And we're going to have an afternoon tea coming up later in the year with a live video call with the Konings. And Phil's going to give us a bit more detail about that a bit later on. Now, we as a church, we think that giving to our mission partners is so important that we want everyone, each and every individual, to consider how they can be generous to both church here and to the gospel being proclaimed overseas, so that we each cheerfully and joyfully give to seeing the gospel go to places like Paraguay through the ministry of the McDowells. And so as you pick up a supporters card, make sure you do it with a Jesus-focused, generous heart. As you take one, think about what you'll give to see the gospel go to the world. And I want to say this. Seeing Jesus and worshipped and glorified throughout the world is worth more than anything money can buy. But finally, we've had pray, we've had give. Let's think about go. Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim Jesus? Let me ask it again. Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim Jesus? I think many of us will probably too easily dismiss that question. Even myself, I kind of didn't really want to ask it. I've just started a great gig at a great church. And, you know, I want to shrink back from that question. But let me ask it again. Are you someone that could go overseas to proclaim Jesus? Because Jesus gives us every reason to go, to proclaim his greatness to all people everywhere. And so will you go? Will you go? Let's pray. Our great and gracious God, we fall humbly at the feet of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the one who made all things and whom all things are for. Father, glorify Jesus in this world. Use us to see it happen. Give us boldness to proclaim him here and give us generous hearts so that we might support those who go out from us to proclaim the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, if it's your will, we pray that you might help us to go ourselves, all for the sake of your kingdom and glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.